Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. On this edition, we're going to be speaking to the frankly lovely and hugely popular lesbian fiction author Jay, which I'm very excited about, and you'll hear the fabulous chat we had very shortly. But before we get to that, we're going to see what's going on in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as getting an update on my new book, This London Love. First up though, the Amazon charts. In the UK, the lesbian romance charts have been dominated for the past few weeks by our very own Kiki Archer with her latest release, Too Late, I Love You. The book's been getting rave reviews all around the world and has topped the lesbian romance charts in the US and the UK, and probably in other countries that I'm not aware of too. And it's also broken into the contemporary romance charts too. Kiki is fab and a great author, and so I'm really thrilled for her. It's richly deserved. Also doing well on both sides of the pond is Harper Bliss, who I interviewed in episode 7 of the Lesbian Book Club. She's got a new novel out, Once in a Lifetime. It's a great title, a great cover, and a great book. And I'm sure that her meteoric rise to fame is a direct result of being on this very show. I mean, you know, I haven't got any scientific studies to back it up. I haven't got any empirical evidence, but you know, it's just a hunch. It's just a hunch that I've got. Also doing well in the US and the UK are J.A. Armstrong with another in the popular off-screen series, showing that LA glamour does sell. Who knew? And Bridget Essex with a novella called The Wolf Queen, which is flying off US virtual shelves at breakneck speed. And lastly, number one in the lesbian fiction charts as I record this is, it's me! Hooray! Yes, I released my new book, This London Love, and I have to say I'm really, really thrilled with the reception it's had around the world thus far. I've got some great tweets, reviews and comments left by readers, and if you are one of those responsible, thank you so much. They really do mean a lot, and it's great to get feedback. And if you haven't read it, it's available now via digital outlets. And if you do read it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a review on the site you bought it on. That would be awesome. What else have I been doing apart from releasing a book, you know, that old thing? Well, we had London Pride recently, where I marched Planet London to raise female visibility in the parade. And I've got to tell you, that was a whole load of sunshine-fueled fun. On the march, we seemed to stick a half of London. We drank some beer, we got a bit sunburn, and generally, we revelled in the love that settled on London that day, like a great big giant rainbow blanket. A lightweight blanket, of course, because it was hot, hot, hot in the city. It really was. But honestly, after the recent SCOTUS ruling, this year's Pride seemed to take on extra significance for me and for everyone else there too. It was just a fabulous day and one where it really did come across that love did win, which is awesome. My wife and I also went to see Taylor Swift in Hyde Park that night after Pride. So it was an action-packed and tip-top Saturday, and Taylor was amazing because Taylor can only be amazing. She's only got one speed, and that is amazing. And the weather just keeps staying hot, so we'll be doing more sunbathing this weekend, I am sure, and maybe crack open the Barbie. My wife's Australian, so you know, she has to do a Barbie at some point. So we were nearly ready to get to the interview with Jay. Just a reminder, if you haven't bought your tickets also for Elfest, why the heckity thump not? Elfest is a lesbian arts and culture festival. It takes place at Uttoxeter Racecourse from July the 17th to the 19th. And I'm really hoping that the weather holds, because that will be amazing if it does. You can camp, you can come and see loads of different acts and people and workshops, including me. I'm hosting this year's Indie Author Panel with Karen Campbell, H.P. Monroe, Suzanne Egerton and Sally Edwards. So if you fancy hearing all of us chatting about our writing and hearing us read, buy your tickets for Elfest now. You'd be a fool not to. Lastly, I'm also comparing the Brighton Pride Literature Tent this year, as well as reading from my new novel, This London Love There. So do come down and say hi at Brighton Pride 2, which takes place on August the 1st. Anyway, enough about me and everyone else. Let's get to the interview with the brilliant Jay.
So hello and welcome to today's book club. Joining me today is the ultra popular and super prolific author Jay. Based in Germany, Jay publishes with the rapidly growing Ilva Publishing and has so far released an avalanche of lesbian romance in most flavours imaginable. Contemporary, Hollywood, historic, paranormal, and even some with vampires. She most recently had success with Damage Control, the second in her Hollywood series, as well as Under a Falling Star, which sold by the romantic bucket load, I think you'll agree. And she's just released this week Next of Kin Book 2 of her Portland Police series. There's a lot to get through, Jay, but welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show, Claire, and thanks for preparing so well. You really looked it up correctly, yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad there were no mistakes in there.
No, it's perfect. You're very up to date with Next of Kin.
Awesome. Yes. No, I saw that one come out. So is there anything else you want to add to that intro, or did that just about cover it?
I think you just about covered it, yeah.
Cool. Okay. So it is baking hot here in London today. How is it in Germany?
It's very hot. We are having a heat wave. I think Thursday is supposed to be 36 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
We are starting to sweat here too.
Yeah. I was just out in the garden actually reading my Kindle, and the neighbour's kid just sprayed a hose over it. So I was like, oh my god, it suddenly started raining and it's like 30 degrees.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how good Kindles are at bearing up now.
Mm-hmm.
So whereabouts are you based in Germany?
I'm in the very southwestern corner. About 30 kilometers from both the border to Switzerland and to France.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it the Tuscany of Germany because it's the warmest area and we got the most sun hours per year.
Ah, okay.
It's very beautiful, close to the Black Forest and the Rhine Valley, so I like it here.
Yeah. Is it near Freiburg?
It is in Freiburg, actually.
It is, right.
You know the city?
I've been there once. In a former life, I was a food critic, and I got taken by the German Food Marketing Board
mm-hmm.
around the Black Forest to sample Black Forest ham.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely beautiful there. So
yes.
The freshest air I think I've ever breathed.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
So, and is it famous for anything else where you are?
Close to here, the cuckoo clocks.
Yeah.
The ham. What else? The good weather.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So come to Freiburg, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So do you want to briefly tell me a bit about your background and how you got to started on your writing journey?
Mm-hmm, sure. I think I've pretty much always been a writer. It started when I was about 10 or 11. And I just never stopped writing, not in my youth or when I went to university. For a lot of decades, I wrote exclusively in German, which is my native language.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got into reading in English. And at one point, it just made no sense to me anymore to write in one language and read in the other.
Mm-hmm.
So in, I think, 2006, I started trying my hand at writing in English.
Mm-hmm.
And started with a couple of short stories that were actually fan fiction, law and order fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some very encouraging feedback from readers, and so I kept writing in English. Very soon, I had a trusted beta reader, Pam, who encouraged me to publish one of my books and to try submitting it to a publisher.
Yeah.
And I submitted it to Elbook. They went out of business 2012, but they were a digital publisher, one of the first, actually.
Yeah.
And I submitted Backwards to Oregon, which was my second English novel, to them. And they accepted it immediately, and it was published in December 2007.
And where were they based? Were they in Germany or America?
No, they were in the U.S.
In the U.S.
California.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the internet and everything, it's very easy to publish with a with a company, even if it's not in your country. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's very easy. And I stayed with them for a couple of years and published, I think, 5 books with them. And then switched in 2012 to Ilva Publishing, because I personally know the publisher and I like how she does business and the focus on quality she has.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been with Ilva Publishing ever since. If I count correctly, I think it's the 12th book in English that I'm right now working on.
Right, only 12. It seems like more.
It is, because I also have some novellas out and a couple of short stories and short stories in anthologies, and I republished 5 of my books, so it's more like 17 books all in all.
Right, okay.
It seems more than it is, but I mean 12 books and I think 4 or 5 in German by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you going to, translate all the ones that you've written since into German? Do you do that anyway, or?
I think I will. Over time, I probably will. I mean, it's slow going because I also want to write new stories for my English readers.
Yeah.
But I think I will, over time, translate everything.
That's really interesting you said about the just switching to writing in English, because I know you write in a US, sort of in the US English, right?
Yeah, I do.
And that was a conscious decision on your part?
I think it's just the language I read most of the stories were set in the US and were in US English, so it's what I was most used to, and most of the TV shows and the movies I watch come from over there.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me.
Sure, yeah. And I guess your publisher probably wanted that as well, the original one, right, too?
I don't know if they would have allowed British spelling. Probably. I mean, but it made sense. They were an American publisher also, a US American publisher.
Yeah.
It made sense.
So you went full time in 2012, you said, right?
2013.
But yeah. Prior to that, you were a psychologist, that's right?
Yes, that's true.
So how long were you working doing that job, and what were you psychologist of?
I think it was for 8 years, a little more than 8 years, and I was a traffic psychologist, which I think doesn't exist in other countries. It's particular to Germany.
Right.
Basically, I worked with people who either abused alcohol or drugs or lost the driver's license due to other traffic infractions.
Okay.
So yeah. It's a lot. It has to do a lot with changing habits and working through some issues that the people had and trying to find better solutions for them.
Right, okay. So really dealing with people who have a lot of issues, but specifically if they've lost their license or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah.
Interesting. And did you think you'd learn any... Have you learned a lot on that job that you bring into your writing?
Oh, yes, I think so. I mean, as a psychologist, you're more aware of how everything that went on before in writing, we would call it a backstory. So the previous experience someone had from the childhood, from past relationships, from jobs they had, how all of that, and in addition their personality traits, how it affects them in the present and how it influences their behavior and their interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's basically, I sometimes think that the plot of a novel is a little bit like therapy, because a good plot should force the characters to face their fears and to overcome their issues, so that in the end the reader feels like they really deserve the happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're kind of rehabilitating all your characters, right?
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah. you're keeping the same job, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways I can use some of the things from my former job in the job I have now, also as an editor.
Mm-hmm.
You also deal with a lot of people, and so it pays off.
And what would you say to somebody who's thinking of taking the leap into from like a professional job, a successful job, into the leap to becoming a full-time writer?
I would say take the leap. Mm-hmm. I also never thought that it would be possible, because you all the time hear that a writer, you can't live off your writing. But I would recommend that you really you look before you leap. Don't just jump into it, because most authors can't make a living off just one or two books or even three books.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're really planning to go full-time as a writer, then try to build a backlist of previously published books first, and also try it out. I mean, take a writing vacation and see if you are really able to write consistently. And you have to have trust in yourself that you can actually publish at least two books a year and maybe several short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can also provide something to the promotional side of being a writer. And if you're sure that you can do all that, then I would say, yeah, go for it. If the sales numbers are good, then go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but try it out first. That's really good advice.
Yes.
And just commit yourself. Keep going. That's what I'm kind of at that stage now. Just released my third book, so you know, just keep
mm-hmm.
going. Yeah.
That's true.
And from your time working as a psychologist, do you think that writers, you have to have a screw loose to be a writer?
I don't think it's a requirement, but it does seem to help. No, kidding aside. There actually seems to be a higher percentage of writers who struggle with psychological disorders than in the overall population.
Mm-hmm.
I have recently actually read a study that indicates that the same kind of deep, complex thinking that is involved in writing also is the same areas of the brain that are involved in the brooding kind of thinking during a depression.
Oh, really?
So there seems to be a relation. It can be a coincidence that a lot of writers are introverts and more deep thinkers and not people who live out their emotions outward. So I think there's a relation, but I don't think that we need to have a screw loose.
No. You don't have to be mad to work here, but it helps, etc.
Yeah. I think I'm still pretty normal, so it should be fine.
You sound all right. You sound all right to me.
Okay.
So, as I said in the intro, you cover all different genres in your lesbian fiction, which is pretty impressive. Do you have a favourite genre, and do you like switching between them constantly?
I think what all of my books have in common is they have a pretty strong romance subplot. So if I have a favourite, probably it's romance. But within that genre, I like to switch to the different subgenres. I've written historical, and right now I'm writing contemporary. And the next book after that will be historical fiction set in 1906 during the Great Earthquake in San Francisco.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
And after that, probably a shapeshifter novel, and then a paranormal mystery. So I like to keep it fresh and to not limit myself to just one subgenre of lesbian fiction.
Yeah, and you, do you constantly rotate? So you write a different one every time after the other?
Sometimes, but right now, my last, if I'm not counting Next of Kin, which was a republication, the one before was Damage Control, which was a contemporary romance, and the one I'm writing right now is also contemporary romance.
Okay.
But the character is very different, so you can't really compare the two novels.
Yeah. And as well as different genres, you also write in different lengths, which I find interesting. Your series have short stories, novellas, and novels. So was that, again, a conscious decision, or was that something that just naturally evolved?
Both a little bit. I mean, I think short stories and novellas are a good way for readers to try out your stories, because a novel is usually more expensive and it takes more time to read. So if a reader doesn't know you yet, they might not want to invest that kind of time and money. And a short story, you can read it in maybe an hour and just pay 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mostly for me, the story makes the decision for me.
Yeah.
Because there are some story ideas that lend themselves better to long novels, because the characters go through a lot of complex changes, while there might be other stories that revolve mainly around just a moment or a few days in the characters' lives, so they can be covered perfectly fine in a short story.
Mm-hmm.
I think my short stories tend to be the more humorous stories.
Okay.
And the novels are more a deeper exploration of blood and characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and do you find it easy to write all of them, like the short stories, novellas, novels?
Depends on the story, but usually I find novels easier because you have more time to develop the characters and to get to know them better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a problem at first to keep it shorter. It actually happened more than once that I set out to write a short story for an anthology, and the characters were so fascinating that the story kept getting longer and longer. So in the end, I had several short stories that ended up being novels.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, Under Falling Star was supposed to be a holiday short story and ended up a novel of, I don't even know, 120,000 or something like that.
That's quite a jump.
That's pretty long for a short story.
Yeah, but
it was a natural development, and I'm not stopping it if it makes sense to make it longer.
Yeah. And like you say, you're writing four series at the moment, a Hollywood series, vampire mm-hmm. series, Shapeshifter, and Portland. When you start a series, do you know how many books are going to be in it?
Actually, no. My series are not like the kind of series that, for example, J.K. Rowling writes, where she sits down and plots out the whole series, all seven books. Because usually my series don't start out as series. It's a little bit like with the short stories and the novella and the novels. I never, at least so far, I never intend to make it a series. And they're not really the kind of series where one book each book can stand on its own, and you don't necessarily have to read all of the ones that came before mm-hmm. to be able to enjoy and to read a book.
Yeah.
It's more like a series of interconnected sequels or spin-offs than a series that follows one and the same main characters over the years.
Okay, so you're not sure exactly how many when you go, you just go with the flow.
Yeah, I go with the flow. And usually they don't even have the same main characters, so I take minor characters from book one and they get their own book as main characters, and the same book shows us glimpses of how did the story continue for the main characters in book one.
Yeah, got it. And how do you keep, if you're writing all these series, I know I struggle with this, just having like one book and one short story, so maybe you're just, you know, more adept and used to it, but how do you keep so many characters in your head when you're writing so many different stories? And have you ever had any crossover where one character ends up in a different book and you think, hang on, you shouldn't be here?
Interesting. No, I never had that kind of problem.
Oh.
It's interesting that you have that. I never even thought that could be a problem. I guess it's because they are also separate in my mind. They're very different from each other. At least I try to make them very different from each other and give them their own backstories and their own personalities. Because I don't want to write the same book over and over again. Probably have encountered stories like that too, where you think the author just took the same type of characters and put them into a different kind of setting in each book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's a little like you have a dozen or two dozen friends, and if you're really familiar with them, then you don't get them mixed up.
Yeah.
You know them just too well.
Yeah. Got it. And you write very quickly. Every month there seems to be, or every month or so, there seems to be a new J release. So your writing's really stepped up since you've gone full time. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, I've seen your writing schedule and it looks crazy.
It is crazy. I know. But it's very interesting that everyone seems to think I'm such a fast writer when, in fact, I'm not at all a fast writer. I'm more of a consistent writer. I try to write every day, especially when I'm in the first draft stage. But I'm not fast. I mean, if I see writers who put out 10,000 words a day, I can just... my head starts to spin just thinking of that. For me, I have a word count goal of 2,000 words a day, and sometimes it takes me 4 hours to meet that goal, and some days it takes me 6 hours or more because I get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is not exactly a 9-to-5 job, but I try to bring out new stories or new novels consistently and not make my readers wait for a year or two until the next story.
Mm-hmm. And I think they are all waiting. Bated breath every time.
I get the day after I bring out a book, I get emails asking when will the next one be out. And I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a couple of those recently. I'm like, I only just released it last week.
Yes.
And can you describe to me your writing process? Do you have a certain time of the day you write and certain place that you write, or do you change it up?
It changed a little since I went full-time. I used to be a night owl writer, someone who writes mostly in the evening and in the early morning hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that those were my most productive times. But then I discovered that it was actually more a product of necessity, because I worked as a psychologist during the day and didn't have time to write then. But when I went full-time at the end of 2013, I realized quickly that if I start doing other stuff in the morning, then the day really got away from me and I didn't get anything done. So nowadays I'm trying to get up like around 7, and I do a quick workout, and then I try to sit down to write at the latest around 8. And I mainly write in my office.
Yeah.
I now live in an apartment where I have a separate office, which mm-hmm. is really nice. And I have a large desk, and I get most of my writing done there. But every once in a while, when I really feel I need a change of pace, I will go to a coffee shop or some other, like a library. I actually find, I know there are writers who think that would be a distraction for them. They would end up people watching. But for me, all the background noise is more of a stimulation than a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can eavesdrop on people's conversations too, right? So.
Yeah, sometimes it helps. You might get, it's interesting if you hear just part of a conversation out of context, and it can really stimulate story ideas.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. And you said that you get up and you do a workout. What kind of workout do you favour? Do you go for a run, or do you?
I have knee problems, so I try to do half an hour or so on an elliptical trainer, and I have a rowing machine that I use. So mainly those two.
Okay. And that's at your house, is it? You don't go to a gym or anything?
No.
No.
No. I would take up too much time if I have to leave the house. And then because I don't like to waste too much of my most productive time in the morning.
Yeah. And you're also writing a non-fiction book on time management for writers. And you've written one on goal setting as well.
Yes.
And I know that your website is full of useful tips for writers. So can you tell us some of your top tips for writing productivity?
Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned a few of them already. But my top one tip would be to turn off the internet.
Yeah.
It is really such a helpful tool for writers. You can do research without even leaving your office. But it's also the number one most distracting thing around. If you're prone to getting distracted like I am, there's a shiny object anywhere and I'm distracted immediately.
Yeah.
So I try not to allow myself to stop writing, to look up a word. Do I spell it with a hyphen or not?
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to research a little detail, because one link leads to another, and before you know it, an hour or so is over and you find yourself on YouTube watching some cat video. And I think most writers know exactly what I talk about.
Yeah.
So I try to just turn off the internet completely or go someplace where there is no internet, if that doesn't help, because at home can also be a lot of distractions. So figure out what your distractions are and get rid of them, and you will see that you can really be much more productive.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, try to find out what you your most productive time is. A lot of people think they know, but you might actually find out that you're wrong. And once you find out, then try to reserve that time, if you can, for writing. Just make it an appointment, like you would go to the doctor, and get your writing done there.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And I think I'm falling into a new pattern now as well, because I've never really been a morning person, but I'm finding I'm writing better in the mornings these days. So, you know, things can change too, right?
Yeah, totally. And if you realize what used to work for you, then try out other things and keep track of your word count a little, just to see, not that you have to rely on guesses, but to actually see what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah. And you also edit as part of your role at Ill Publishing. So do you enjoy that part of the job? And are you sort of a bit more sensitive, to writers being one yourself?
Yes, I enjoy editing as a writer as well as an editor. It's a very interesting process to help other writers improve their stories, because you see it from a different point of view, and you learn a lot for your writing from editing other people's stories, because you can see the mistakes they make much more clearly than you can your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I learned a lot from being an editor.
And what's the split of writing and editing you do?
It depends. It depends very much on where I am in my writing projects and in my editing projects, because usually there are deadlines for both, and so some days the editing might be a little bit more and the other days writing. But in general, I would say I do a little bit more writing than I do editing, mostly because I'm so slow with writing. As I said, it could be that I write about 6 hours a day and the rest is editing.
Okay. And your name, Jay, is a pseudonym. Is there a story behind it?
Yes, actually there is. I picked the name because one of the first lesbian fiction stories that I read online back in around 2001 or so was a story named Silent Legacy. I think it has been published as Glass Houses by Kieran Lachlan-Levitt.
Right.
And the main character's name was Jay, and I really liked how complex she created her. She was a really very three-dimensional character.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started posting stories online, I just went with the first name that came to me, and it was the name of that character.
Okay, all right.
But I forget to add the last name, so now I'm like Madonna, and I just have the one pen name.
I hate you're sitting there in a Madonna with a Madonna microphone on as well right now. Could you give us some voguing?
I think I stick to writing.
You're not a karaoke person then?
I don't want to do that to people. I'm not a
good singer. No. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're going over to GCLS.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And they always have a karaoke night, don't they?
They do. I went last year too, and it was fun. I heard my editor sing, and she actually can sing, so her entertainment was much better than the one I could have provided.
I don't know. I like everybody to sing, you know. It's always entertaining. And what do you think of the explosion in lesbian fiction writing over the past few years?
I think mostly it's a really good thing, because lesbian fiction is not just romance anymore, but it's much more diverse in genres, in the plots that are being told, and readers really have a choice of what kind of reading material they want, which is also a little bit of a disadvantage, because there's now so much lesbian fiction out there that readers really have to make a choice. And not every book that is published is a high quality and has gone through a complex editing process. So readers have to be more careful about what kind of reading material they spend their money on.
Mm-hmm. And are you an avid reader of lesbian fiction?
I try to be if I have the time, but of course writing takes up a lot of time. But I still read a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Do you read other stuff as well?
I try to read a lot of mysteries. I don't read, if I'm writing, for example, romance, I don't read romances. Mm-hmm. And if I'm working on a mystery, I try not to read mysteries because I don't want to be influenced by another reader's style or plot.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite common, that, isn't it? And when can we expect the next title from you, and what will that be?
As you mentioned, one was just out, Next of Kin, and yeah, the next one is the one I'm working on right now, and the title is just Physical. It's the next part of the Hollywood series. This one is about a minor character that started out in Damage Control, Jill. She's a actress who has MS, multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I introduced her, all of my beta readers told me I have to write her story, so I'm doing it right now.
Okay, cool.
We're hoping to have it out in time for Christmas this year.
Okay, cool. So readers do not have to wait that long for the next J book. and are there any words and phrases that you overuse in your everyday and your writing? I find that every book I do, I've got certain things that I do over and over again.
Yeah, I think most writers have that. That's why you need editors to point them out, because I also don't see them.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any specific things, but probably little bits of body language, like having a character shrug too often or shake her head too often, or little things like that, probably.
Yeah, there's always lots of shrugging and shaking in the first draft.
Yeah, first draft it's okay to have them,
definitely.
But then you have to mix it up a little.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's fine because you don't want to draw attention to it and it's not so important, but in the emotionally complex scenes you'll need a little bit more than that, and you need to personalize it with gestures that are just specific to this one character.
Yeah. And when you're not writing, how do you relax?
I still read a lot. I watch TV shows, a lot of crime shows. I like to travel. I'm going to New Orleans actually next week.
Mm-hmm.
For the conference and also for some sightseeing.
Right.
And I spend time with my family. I have two nieces and a nephew, mm-hmm, that I like to spend my time with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you looking forward to going to the Golden Crown Literary Awards?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I made a lot of... I was going for the first time last year in Portland, and I made a lot of friends pretty fast. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of them again and to just be around 300 plus readers and writers of lesbian fiction. I mean, it's pretty rare that you can be among so many people who have the same interests.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would love to go one year. Not this year, sadly, but 1 year definitely. And I can't let you go without mentioning Germany in the World Cup. And now you're actually playing tonight against USA, right? And by the time this podcast goes out later this week, people will know the score. So what's your prediction for tonight?
I have no idea. Our team didn't play so well last game. We got lucky, I thought, that we won. And I was a little bit sad for the French team because they played better than we did and we still won.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. Made a better team win, and I don't really care that much who wins. I don't know.
You've got to say a Germany win. Come on.
Okay, I say 1-0 for Germany.
Okay. See, I would like—I don't mind who wins tonight. I would quite like Germany to win. I'd like a Germany-England final. So as long as we win tomorrow night, I'm happy. And the final question, if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Who wrote the Stoner McTavish series for her great funny dialogues and characters, and Sarah Waters for the historical detail.
Oh yeah, she's got that down pat, hasn't she? She's pretty good at that.
Yes.
Yeah. So where can people find out more about you, Jay, if they want to find out more about your books?
Mm-hmm. I have a website, j-fiction.com, mm-hmm, where you can find information about me and my books, and also a blog. And you can also find my books on my publisher's website, which is ilva-publishing.com.
Great. Super. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk this evening. You've been fantastic and, yeah, very educational too. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
No, take care and I hope you win tonight.
Thank you.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. Just before I go, just to say commiserations to the England women's football team who came within a whisker of making the World Cup final, but just missed out after a extremely cruel last-minute own goal from the unfortunate Laura Bassett, who had otherwise played brilliantly, as had the whole team. So commiserations to England, commiserations to Germany. Neither of us got through, but the final will be contested between America and Japan. So good luck to both those teams, and may the best team win. And also, yeah, if you haven't got a copy of my latest novel, This London Love, why not? It's the spin-off of London Calling, so if you enjoyed that one, go and grab yourself a copy of This London Love. And if you fancy dipping into any of my other books, London Calling or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes or any of the other digital outlets. I am also on Twitter at Claire Lydon. Very cryptic. So come on down there and follow me. I love a bit of Twitter me. Join me next time for more hot book club action. See you then.